always a pleasure to speak here on behalf of the Kollel. Pleasure to be here in the Angizl Shomer Muna. This morning's topic for the Shir is the mitzvah of Emunah. What do we have to believe? This topic really gets to the core of who we are as a people, as a nation, and really, as you'll see, as individuals. What is our requirement to believe? Do we all believe the same thing? Is there a requirement that we all have some uniform level of belief? What is a Jew supposed to believe? Do we believe different things? Do we believe the same thing? And as you'll see by the title of this year, at least in the Hebrew, Emuna o Yediyah. When we talk about Emuna, which we loosely or maybe simply translate on an elementary level, Emuna means belief. You'll see the language that the Rishonim have is at times belief, which is Emuna, and at times it's Yediyah, which means knowledge. Really, the fundamental question I'd like to talk about this morning is our obligation to simply be believers, to have faith, or do we really have to have something else, which is knowledge, which maybe is scientific, maybe it's mathematical, maybe it's absolute, what we would call five-finger clarity. My relationship with God, or when I understand God, have a relationship with God, does that mean that I have to understand God the way I understand somebody I'm speaking to, that I have a basic correspondence relationship where I really absolutely can tell you scientifically, mathematically, logically, with an algorithm that there is a God, I believe in God, and I know there's a God, and I could prove to you there's a God. Is that what's required of us? Or no, is it simply enough just to say that I believe, and I know, and I understand, and I have faith? That's a fundamental question. It's a categorical question. As you'll see, this is a question that has been debated upwards of 1,000 years. Rishonim have debated this point, Achronim have debated this point, the Halach it's debated, in Ashkaf it's debated, philosophical works it's debated. I'd like to get to the bottom of that question. This morning I'd like to divide the Shir into three distinct parts. First third of the Shir, I'd like to look at the Pasuk that we read yesterday, in the first of the Aseres Adibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, which is the first source on the paper, and try to understand what it is and how it is that the Mufarshei HaChumash understand that pasuk. It's the first of the Aseres Adibros. It's the source of what we call belief. What is it, and how did the Rishonim understand that pasuk? How did the basic Mefarshei HaChumash understand that pasuk? How did the early Jewish philosophers understand that pasuk? Second, third of the Shir, I would like to address the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam, of course, arguably the greatest halachist, the greatest Jewish philosopher. His approach, of course, has to be understood well, and it has to be understood well for two reasons. The Rambam takes philosophy and brings it into the world of halacha. The Rambam codifies that there's a mitzvah called emuna that we have to believe, and therefore we have to know what to do and how to do it. And therefore the Rambam's combination of halacha and machshava and hashkafa, combining philosophy and law, is going to be critical in terms of appreciating what we are supposed to believe. And more than that, his opinion has been quoted and cited and noted and deliberated and analyzed by greater other Rishonim and Achronim later. So therefore, the Rambam's opinion is a really critical aspect of this topic. And finally, the last third of this year, I'd like to take and talk about the takeaway. Where do we go from here? After discussing some very complicated matters, some difficult matters, and really get to the guts and the core of what Emunah is, I like that we all walk away with a understanding of how poskim, how halachic authorities dealt with this issue, and hopefully that we walk away at the same time inspired, understanding who we are, what we're about, and who we are as a nation. So as I just noted, the first source on the page is a pasuk that we're all familiar with. It's a pasuk that we read in yesterday's parasha, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim Mibeis Avadim. We all know that pasuk, we've all read that pasuk. And the pasuk simply translates that I am God, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God, Asher Hotzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, who took you out of bondage, out of slavery, out of Egypt. Looks like a very innocuous pasuk, a very simple pasuk. God is telling the Jewish people, is introducing himself, really for the first time on a national level to the Jewish people, and saying, I am God, I am the God who took you out of Egypt, period. There's a very, very difficult problem with this pasuk. Anybody have a problem with this pasuk? If I was introducing myself as God, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God who took you out of Egypt, would that be the first way that God would introduce himself? How else could God say? What would be maybe a stronger way that God could prove himself? I'm sorry? Shebarasicha, right? I am Hashem your God who created the earth. The pasuk doesn't say it. The pasuk says, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisicha Me'atz Mitzrayim." I'm Hashem, God who took you out of Egypt. The Rishonim ask here, and I'll share with you a basic machlokas, what I believe is a basic machlokas between the Ibn Ezra and the Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, and I'll talk to you about them momentarily, who ask this question. And they're bothered. Ibn Ezra's bothered by this question. Why is it that the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God Almighty, in the first of the Ten Commandments, introduces himself as, "I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt"? And God doesn't say, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Barasicha Shemayim Varetz," "I am Hashem, your God, who created heaven and earth." That is the question. Two of the early great Jewish philosophers, maybe the greatest of the Mefarshei Chumash, the Ibn Ezra, Avraham Ibn Ezra, and Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, were colleagues, friends, contemporaries, both philosophers. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was arguably the greatest Jewish poet that ever existed. Ibn Ezra is arguably one of the greatest Mefarshei Chumash that ever existed. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi was 14 years the senior of the Ibn Ezra, and they had dialogue and correspondence and polemics about major philosophical issues, and the Ibn Ezra asked Rabbi Yehuda Halevi this very question. Although Ibn Ezra was 14 years the senior, was 14 years the younger of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, he asked Rabbi Yehuda Halevi this very question. If you take a look in the second source, the pasuk says, "Sha'alni Rabbi Yehuda Halevi menuchaso kavod." Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, may God grace him, he passed away 14 years prior to the Ibn Ezra. "Lama hiskir anochi Hashem Elokecha asher hotzisicha meretz Mitzrayim." So if you ask this question, you're in good company. Rabbi Yehuda Halevi himself asked this question to the Ibn Ezra and was bothered why it is that the first of the Aseres Adibros is written in that language. The Ibn Ezra goes, and you'll note that it's a relatively long piece. We're not going to have time to read everything inside this morning. But the Ibn Ezra notes that there are different levels of belief. And let's read just a little bit of the Ibn Ezra. The second line of the second source, he says, "Da, you should know. Ki ein malos b'nei adam shavos b'amunas and b'libam." Not everybody believes the same way. There are different levels of belief that human beings have. Shehem ma'aminim b'shem anechma. Ki harabim ma'aminim l'hashmas oznaim shiom lem adoneim kacha. Some people just believe something that they're told. It's enough just to hear your rabbi say, "Believe in God," and that's enough. That's a very basic, elementary level of emunah. Ulamala mehem, there's even a greater level. Shiroze kasu b'divrei Torah shnas Hashem Moshe. There are others who believe in God because it's stated in the five books of Moshe. It says that you should believe in God. Anoch Hashem Elokecha. I know it says that. If Hashem wrote that in his Torah, I believe that to be true. V'myavi apikores la'ara. But if somebody questions a person with that second level of emunah, ki ein Elokim yasimi yadim lefim, they'll stick their hands in their mouth. They don't know what to respond. If I just believe in God because it says in the Chumash, and somebody says, "It's Chumash? Who wrote the Chumash? How do you know the Chumash is true?" They'll be stuck. Won't be able to answer that question. Somebody on a higher level, a third level, somebody who studied wisdom. Somebody who has scientific knowledge. Somebody understands biology, chemistry. Somebody understands plant life in the animal kingdom, those people have an even deeper sense of being able to recognize and understand God. And this is who the Ibn Ezra refers to as the maskilim, somebody who's thoughtful, somebody who's perplexed, somebody who's a searcher, somebody who questions, somebody who's trying to figure things out. That, he writes, is an even higher level. And the fourth and the highest level, he says, is somebody who studies astrology and somebody understands the cosmos, the way the sun, the moon, and the stars work, and its relationship with this world. The Ibn Ezra calls that person, the maskil, a person who understands God on the highest, deepest level, and that, he says, is the pshat in the pasuk, "Anochi Hashem Elokecha." That person knows God like nobody else. "I am Hashem, your God," is speaking to that person who sees and understands God through biology, through the body, understands childbirth, understands the entire gamut of the human body, the hands, the mind, the feet, the stars, the moon, the stars in the sky. That person is Anochi. You could say, "I know God, I see God, I understand God, and there must be a creator." But then there's another level, somebody who can't do that. What do you do with somebody who can't do that? Are we all required to sit and study scientific books and be able to study the moon and the stars and the cosmos and astrology? That's not within our reach, or that doesn't interest us. Says the Eben Ezra, Asher Hotzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, the way that you can tap into God, the way that you know that there's a God, is because God took us out of Egypt. And my ancestors told me that, and their ancestors told them that, and their ancestors told them that. And therefore, through the historical facts that exist, therefore, that's how I know God. Thus, the Eben Ezra understands that there are two different people that this pasuk is talking to. Says the Eben Ezra, the pasuk of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, speaking to the Jew who knows God through science. That's Anochi Hashem. But there's also a Jew who's spoken to and believes in God because Asher Otzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. That's a fact. Nobody will argue with that. That's a historical truth. The Jews were slaved in Egypt upwards of 200 years. They were freed, they crossed the Yam Suf, they fought with Amalek, they made it to the land of Israel, there was battles in the land of Israel, they were kicked out of Israel. These are historical truths. Says the Eben Ezra, however, that's not the highest level of knowledge. That's not the highest level of belief. The highest level of belief is the ability to be able to see God, to understand God, and to be able to prove God. But the second level is Asher Hotzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. What emerges from the opinion of the Eben Ezra is that there are two distinct ways that a person can have emunah. One level is absolute scientific knowledge. The second level is understanding from a historical perspective. Rabbi Huda Halevi, who asked this question to the Eben Ezra, in his Sefer Kuzari, which is a classic work, maybe the classic Jewish philosophy book written in 1140, published in 1140. Rabbi Huda Halevi died in 1141. It's a dialogue that the king of Kuzar, the melech of Kuzar, who lived supposedly in somewhere in the 8th century, had a dialogue with three religions. A rabbi, a Christian priest, and finally a imam in Islam. And this individual, the melech Kuzar, who ultimately converted with his kingdom, dialogue debated with each of these people. There's a chaver, who is the Jewish rabbi, and he takes up the long and short, the majority, the lion's share of the book. And in that book, toward the relatively the beginning of that book, Rabbi Yehuda Halevi debates and shows a debate between the Chaver and the Melech Kuzar. And the Melech Kuzar asks the Chaver this very question: how come it says in your Torah that God took the Jewish people out of Egypt, and it doesn't say that God created the world? If indeed God is the creator, and God fashioned, built the world in 7 days, shouldn't God write in his own Torah, Ani Hashem Elokecha, Asher Barasicha, Shemayim V'aretz, V'ani Asisani? Why does it say Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim? Those of you familiar with the Sefer Kuzari know that the approach of the Kuzari is dramatically different than most of the early Rishonim, and the Kuzari here puts down his premise and his thesis and his philosophy, which is that the basis of the Jewish religion and our belief system is not scientific knowledge, but rather it's based upon history, and it's based upon understanding, and it's based upon what parents told their children, etc., etc. And thus says Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, the reason that the Torah dictates, causes, and says, and states, that Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim Mebeis Avadim, is for this very reason, that our belief system is not based upon what occurred in Shemayim V'aretz. There was nobody there. We can't prove that. I don't know, says the Chaver to the Melech Kuzar. But one thing I can absolutely tell you is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim Mebeis Avadim, that God took the Jewish people out of Egypt. And that's the basis of the entire Sefer Kuzari, that the entire belief system of a Jew as a nation and as individuals is based upon our understanding of what occurred. Take a look briefly in the third source, and I'll show you what Rabbi Yehuda Halevi writes in response to this question. Amar HaChaver al derech hazeh shevaticha. I will respond to you, says Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, quoting the Chaver to the Melech Kuzar. V'chein pasach Moshe ledaber im Paro. How does Moshe speak to Paro? Shmos, va'era, bo. How does he talk to him? How does God introduce himself? Elokei ha'ivrim shalachani alechem. The God of the Hebrews. Ratzalomer, Elokei Avram, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov. The God of Avram, of Yitzchak, and of Yaakov. Why does God appear, and why does God reveal himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Reshay Avram, the force of Eitzel, almost everybody knew Avram. There are no secrets. Avram existed. He was the greatest individual living in Mesopotamia. Everybody knew Avram Avinu. So of course God is going to reveal himself by saying, I am the God of Abraham. Everybody knew Abraham. V'chaber aleim d'var Elokim, and everybody knew that Avram was a man of God. God spoke to Avram. V'hinigosam, v'yasalem niflos, and Avram had miracles performed. V'lo amr Elokei ha'shamayim v'aretz shalachani elecha. And God doesn't introduce himself saying that I am Hashem, your God, who has been sent to you, who created the earth. V'lobore boracha, and doesn't say that. And the same thing is true in our parsha. Anochi Hashem lokecha asher tzisicha me'etz Mitzrayim, v'lomar bore helon boracha. Furthermore, says the Kuzari, the reason that this is the why the Torah reports the way it does, because everybody knew about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Everybody knew about the Jews being enslaved. Everybody knew about them in bondage. Everybody knew about their freedom, and everybody knew that God took the Jewish people out of Egypt. Thus, what emerges is you have a very basic machlokes between two colleagues, two of the great Jewish philosophers, contemporaries of Yehuda Halevi and Ibn Ezra, as to whether or not our belief system is what I would call yidia, knowledge, absolute, algorithm, mathematical, scientific, factual proof, and that's the highest level according to the Ibn Ezra, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda Halevi, who puts that aside and doesn't even address that, it doesn't deal that way at all in his book. And the Sefer Kuzari's basic premise is that our belief system is based on things that we know, that are factual, that are absolute. There was nobody there when the world was created. It's true, but that's not the basis of our belief system. Our basis of our belief system is Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, who lived, who were known, who were well known, through Moshe, through Paro, through Yetzias Mitzrayim, and as we'll see now in the Rambam, something a bit different. In the year 1172, the Jews of Yemen were struggling for two or three different reasons. There was an individual who claimed to be a false messiah and was creating havoc and wreaking havoc in the Jewish community in Yemen, coupled with the fact that there was great tragedy in Yemen at the same time. Jews were being oppressed and persecuted, and the Jews of Yemen found themselves in a very difficult predicament, not only physically, but also emotionally, religiously, and theologically. And the rabbis of the city, led by a man by the name of Rabbi Yaakov ben Etano el-Kafimi, who was the chief rabbi of Yemen, was very, very disturbed and didn't know how to respond to the challenges and theological challenges that the Jews of Yemen had. And he decided to write a letter to the Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, living in Egypt, explaining to him the predicament of the Jews in Yemen, asking him to write a letter to the Jews of Yemen, which today we know is called the Epistle of Yemen, which is what we will read now, Igeres Teman, that the Rambam published, wrote to Rabbi Yaakov ben Netana el-Khafimi, with the other rabbis encouraging him to write this letter to the Rambam. The Rambam writes this letter to the Jews of Yemen. What's the Rambam going to write? How is the Rambam going to inspire the Jews of Yemen to continue to believe and be mechazek them in order to recognize the difficult predicament that they're in physically, emotionally, religiously? The Rambam, like the Kuzari, explains that Jewish theology, Jewish belief, and the reason that you have to believe, and the reason that this Navi Sheker is not somebody who you should reckon with, is because what occurred at Matan Torah occurred to you. The fact that your ancestors sat at the foot of Sinai, and they heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzisicha Me'etz Mitzrayim, and those Jews passed it on to their children, like the Ramban says elsewhere, that no father would ever lie to his son. No parent would ever lie to their child. Nobody lied to you. And when the Torah writes, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and everybody knows that Matan Torah took place, it's an absolute fact, and that's not something that can be questioned. It's not something that could be tinkered with. And the Rambam makes a very startling comment, a very stark comment, when he says, anybody who doesn't believe in Matan Torah, they're not from Zera Yisrael. They're not part of the Jewish people, because that means they weren't there. Because it's an absolute fact that occurred. And generation after generation has passed this down and tells the Rambam to the Jews of Yemen, it's your responsibility to pass this down to your children. The Rambam, of course, is not getting involved in any scientific facts. That's not where the people are at that moment. But there's no question that the Rambam, in this very important letter, which I encourage you to read, it's been translated into English multiple times by different people, a beautiful letter, a very inspiring letter. You get to see a different picture of the Rambam. Rambam, the thinker, the halachist, the philosopher. Here you see the Rambam writing very emotionally and very lovingly to a group of people who are struggling with their theology, and encourages them and explains to them that you have to recognize who you are, understand where you're from. And if you take a look in the second side of the first page, which I think is titled page 2, you'll see the Rambam writes just that. Ro'i lachem achinu, my brothers, writing to the Jews of Yemen, shetigadlu b'neichem al ha'mayim arahu agadol. You should educate your children based upon what occurred at Matan Torah. U'misapro b'toch kal ve'eda, talk, teach, discuss what occurred at Matan Torah. Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah at Sinai, which we read about yesterday, that is the basis of our belief system. So while the Kuzri and the Ibn Ezra talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim being the pinnacle and the apex of our belief system, the Rambam here, and the Rambam as well, in the Sefer Yad HaChazak and Hilchos Yisori HaTorah, speaks about Matan Torah, Maimon Har Sinai as well, being the place and the foundation. The Kuzri does this as well, as being the place and the foundation as to where all Jewish belief is based upon. And he continues in the second line on page 2, Vahataina HaMevia LiDeemes, and it's the argument that brings to absolute truth. V'gadlo ha-maimarahu, and this event, Matan Torah, Maimar Hasin, is the greatest event, greater than any event. Al kol gdula k'mo shegadlo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the greatest of all events. And I'm skipping down to the second to the last line in source number 4, the top of page 2. V'davar zeh haya shetischazeh ka'amuna chazok shelo yashinehu mishnah. This event and this fact, and this truth that you teach to your children, and you continue from generation to generation, is what will strengthen you. And this belief, and strengthening yourself in this element, will allow you to get through these difficult times. And when persecution, when chaos, when anti-Semitism is wreaking its havoc, recognize who you are, where you come from, what you're about, and that will allow you to strengthen yourselves. Thus, you see, the Rambam here understands, like the Kuzri, that the basis of our emunah, the foundation stone of our belief, is based upon history, based upon who we are, where we come from, what has occurred in our Jewish history. Like Matan Torah, there's Yetzias Mitzrayim. Like Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's Kriyas Yamsuf. And these events are really the foundation of who we are as a people, why we believe, and what believe. As opposed to the position of Ibn Ezra, who sees that as a very secondary, a third, and an elementary level of Emunah, because the highest level of Emunah, according to the Ibn Ezra, is that who has, and he and she who has scientific knowledge. Thus, already at the outset, early Jewish philosophers, upwards of 1,000 years ago, already seem to be divided. When we talk about this pasuk, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzitzich Meretz Mitzrayim Beis Avadim, is that pasuk teaching me that my belief system is based upon the Exodus, is based upon the emancipation of the Jewish people from Egypt? Is that why I believe? Or no, that's only a secondary level. The real belief is Anochi Hashem, if you can prove that Hashem is God. That's the highest level. That is the divide that we see in the Rishonim. The second third of the topic that I'd like to address this morning, and maybe the lion's share of our discussion this morning, is going to be the opinion of the Rambam. The Rambam discusses at great length the idea of belief knowledge. I just showed you the Geras Tema, and the Rambam writes about this in a halachic context in the Sefer Yad HaChazakah and in Sefer Mitzvos. He writes about it in a philosophical context in his Sefer Mor Nevuchim, A Guide to the Perplexed. So the Rambam has left us with a lot to talk about, a lot to discuss, a lot to think about, and of course the Rambam is going to be the individual who we all look to try to understand and to appreciate his position, his opinion. As I mentioned, he turns this from a philosophical, academic question to a very halachic and practical discussion. If you take a look in source number 5, the Rambam, besides writing, as I mentioned, the Sefer HaMitzvos and the Yad HaChazakah and the Mor Nevuchim, also authored something called the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Sefer HaMitzvos is the Rambam's book where he pens and dictates 630 mitzvos as we know them. And the first of all of the mitzvos, and not all Rishonim agree with this, the Bahag famously argues on the position of the Rambam, but the Rambam posits that belief in God is a mitzvah. That's the Rambam's opinion. And that's an important opinion. There are other Rishonim who posit like that as well. But the Rambam's position is that mitzvah of emunah, to believe in God, is a mitzvah. Take a look at 3 points in source number 5. HaMitzvah Rishonah, the first of all mitzvos. He had tzivoy asher tzivanu. What's the word that the Rambam uses? Lehamin. Lehamin, we translate to believe. We should believe Sheyesham Allah v'siba. We should believe that there is a God who's a first cause. And if you skip down to the last line, Hutzivoy be'emuna k'mosh biyarno. The Rambam leaves no stones unturned. 3 times the Rambam says, when he's concretizing, explaining, penning the mitzvah of belief in God, it's just that, it's belief. Emuna, emuna, emuna. Therefore, that fits very well with what the Rambam writes in his Igeres Teiman, that our belief system, the Rambam says, and here the Rambam is not waxing philosopher. but he's writing as a halachist. The Rambam is penning that there's a mitzvah. Each and every single one of us in this room needs to believe, must believe, is required to believe, not to prove, not to be able to point to God with five-finger clarity, but we need to believe. If that's all the Rambam wrote, I wouldn't be here. But the Rambam wrote a lot more than that, and more than that, the Rambam contradicts himself. If you take a look in sources 6 and 7, here the Rambam, in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, writes something very different. Says the Rambam in source number 6, Yisod HaYisodos, and this is how the Rambam begins his Sefer Mishnah Torah's magnum opus, V'omer HaChachmos Leida Sheyesh Sham Matzu Rishon. The foundation, the basis of our belief is to what? Not lehamin, leida, to know. And if you don't think he meant that, take a look when he concludes discussing the mitzvah of emunah at the bottom of source number 6, v'yedias davar ze mitzvas aseh. Knowledge, factual proof, ability to point, knowledge, scientific understanding, yisod ha-yisodos ha-amar ha-tachmos, is what has to be. That's the mitzvah to say. That is the positive commandment. And what's his source? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the pasuk that we began with. V'chol amal al da'atu sheyesh ha-meloka acher, chutz mize over belotase. Somebody doesn't believe this and believes in other gods, violates, transgresses this. Thus, what emerges from the Rambam in two different places is two different understandings. Both places, the Rambam is discussing what the mitzvah is. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, in the book where the Rambam codifies the 613 mitzvahs, he says the mitzvah is lehamin, to believe. When the Rambam codifies the mitzvah in his Sefer, in Yad HaChazaka, Mishneh Torah, Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, the Rambam says the mitzvah is leida, to know. More than that, if you take a look in source number 7, the Rambam also has a list of mitzvos that he brings in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, Mishneh Torah, and you take a look, a very pithy statement of the Rambam, source Zion, Leida Sheyesha Meloka, you gotta know that there's a God. Therefore, our job this morning is going to be to try to analyze the opinion of the Rambam, understand what is the opinion of the Rambam. Is the opinion of the Rambam like the Kuzri, Lahamin, to believe, like he writes in his epistle, in the Igeres Teiman, just to believe and to know and to understand that there was a Matan Torah, there was Yetzias Mitzrayim? Or does the Rambam posit like the Ibn Ezra, that it's Leida, it's absolute knowledge? Now, if you think that these two words, Leida and Lahamin, are synonymous and really can mean the same thing, let me show you that that's not the case. Because if you take a look in source number 8, the Chovas HaLavavos, or Bachya Ibn Pekuda, also a contemporary, living at a similar generation as the Ibn Ezra, similar time period as Rabbi Yehuda Levi, the Chovas HaLevavos has is one of the basic works of Jewish philosophy, also from the medieval time period, and he takes the position that you have to know. And you have to know with absolute proof, and he says it's no different than a patient who's a physician. A patient who's a physician, who just puts up his hands and says, I'll let the doctor do what he thinks is correct. That would be malpractice on the part of the patient. You're just going to let the doctor do whatever the doctor thinks is correct? I have a responsibility with my knowledge, with my training, with my education, to make sure that the doctor is dealing with this properly. Says the Chovas HaLevavos, it's a chiyuv, it's a responsibility for anybody who has the ability to contemplate, to ponder, to search and to research, to figure out scientifically if there is a God. Take a look in source number 8. Ach ladas. Is our responsibility to investigate God's truth or not? Omer, anybody who is able, who has the ability, the intellectual prowess to be able to understand God, you require to be an investigator. And you have to look and to search and to pine and to figure out. Kufi hasagaso o koach hakaroso, based upon your ability. And he continues in the third line, and somebody who is oblivious and doesn't show any interest in researching this, hareze miguna, v'nechshav min amikatsum b'chachma uv'maisa, v'hudome l'chola shubaki b'cholio. Says the Chobas of Babas or Bachi Ibn Pekuda, if I can get to the bottom, if I can figure this out, if I can understand God with absolute clarity, that's my responsibility. And if I don't do that, if I'm not a Leda, then I've abrogated my responsibility. I've not fulfilled it to the nth degree. Not only does the Rabbi Ibn Pekuda say this in his Sefer Chobos Avos, in source number 9, the Sefer Achinuch, who bases his work very much upon the opinion of the Rambam, of course, the Sefer Achinuch in the second paragraph notes that emuna is something shiyikva benafsho sha'emes kein, that you can absolutely feel, you know, you understand. V'shiyev shechilav zeh b'shum panim, nobody could convince you otherwise. V'mushalal, if somebody were to ask me, why do I believe? Yashiv v'choshol shezeh yamin libo, this is what I believe, this is what I know. I don't have to explain it to you. V'lo yode b'chilav zeh, afilu yomer lahargo, even if you're challenged with death, you will never, ever, whatsoever question your belief. I know it to be true. It's an absolute. Shekol ze machzik v'koveh ha'amanas ha'lev kishemotzi adavar min ha'koach alapol. Says the Sefer Achinuch, 2 lines from the bottom, source number 9. Ritzoni lomar, kishemikayim b'divrei piv ma'shalibo gomer. If I'm able to articulate that which my heart understands, v'myizke le'alos b'mal sachachma, if I'm able to rise myself to the highest of levels, ulavavo yavin ubein of yire be'omofes nechtach. A mofes nechtach is 5-finger clarity. If I'm able to prove and to understand, shamuna hazos shiyamin hu emes ubaru yefsher blios bilti davrezeh as yikain mitzvah sasei mitzvah min amuvchar, the highest level, says the Sefer Achinuch, if I'm able be'os nechtach, with an absolute proof, with 5-finger clarity that there is a God. Thus, from Rabbi Ben Kuda, the Sefer Achinuch, you see that there is such a thing as yidia. I can know, I can understand, in the same way that we see each other. Rabbi Ben Kuda says that if I am able to figure this out, to get and to plummet the depths of this truth, that's my responsibility. So therefore, the Rambam is telling us two very different things. On the one hand, it's leida, to know, the world of the Ibn Ezra, the world of the Sefer Achinuch, the world of the Chovas HaLevavos. And on the other hand, the Rambam seems to be teaching us, similar to the Kuzri, that it's just simple belief. It's historical truth. It's something that has been passed down from generation to generation. Now, we can have a division in the Rishonim about this. Different opinions can have different thoughts. But the Rambam himself cannot have two different opinions on this. What is the Rambam's position about what we have to believe? This morning, I'd like to share with you 4 different approaches to understand the Rambam. One, you could argue, is an academic approach. A second will be a practical approach. A third will be what I call a Lamdish approach. And a fourth will be a Hasidish approach. As you see, everybody is bothered by the Rambam. Everybody wants to know what the Rambam position was. And therefore, let's take a look together on page number 3 as how do later authorities, later halachic authorities, understand the opinion of the Rambam. The first source is the Hagon Reb Chaim Heller. Reb Chaim Heller was a great pre-war genius. At, I think already the age of 10, he left Cheder and nobody could teach him anymore. He wrote a classic work on the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, where he annotated and he wrote a commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. He survived the war. He was a rabbi in Av Beis Din in Lomza before the war. He became, a Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe, taught at Yeshiva University for some time, and he was a world-renowned first-class genius. And he addresses this difficulty. He addresses this stira, this contradiction in the Rambam. He fleshes it out in the early part of source number 10, and he questions, how could it be that the Rambam on the right hand says, lahamin, to believe, and the other hand, the Rambam says, leida, to know. If you take a look, source number 10, 4 lines from the bottom, Reb Chaim Heller gives the following answer to deal with the Rambam. He says, "V'amna begufa aravi," in Arabic. And says Reb Chaim Heller, and this is something some of you may know, and now from now on you will know, the Rambam, most of his works he wrote in Arabic. The Sefer Yad HaChazaka, the Mishnah Torah of the Rambam, was written in Lashon HaKodesh in Hebrew. But the Sefer HaMitzvos, the book, and it's true about the Epistle of Yemen, in Igeres Teman, it's true about Mor Nevuchim, were all written in Arabic, were later translated, mostly by Ibn Tibbin. But the Sefer HaMitzvos is written in Arabic. And if you look, says Reb Chaim Heller, in the original Arabic, original Arabic manuscript of the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, the word that's used to explain and to write what the Rambam is talking about in terms of belief is the word it'akad. That in Arabic means what? Who is an Arabic scholar here? Take a look what Reb Chaim Heller says. V'amnam beguf aravi ksuva milas it'akad shebe'emes yesh la gamuvan das. The word it'akad was mistranslated in the Sefer HaMitzvos. You know what it'akad means? It'akad means knowledge. It means das, deya, yediya, knowing. V'shapin ruchel kargim shiritzono b'yediyas elokos. The real translation in the Sefer HaMitzvos should be yediya, knowledge, not lehamin. V'hushineida, and that you should know. Thus, says Reb Chaim Heller, there's no inconsistency, there's no contradiction in the Rambam, there's a mistake in the translation of the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Sefer HaMitzvos was written, it said it akad, which was mistranslated lahamin, it should have been translated as leida. Thus the Rambam is consistent that the Rambam's position, says Reb Chaim Heller, is knowledge, scientific, factual, absolute. And he continues and he writes, V'yedidi achacham, a professor, my friend, the professor, Mr. Yitzchak Maitvich, Heruni, proved this point. Misifro Shereb Sajigon, one of the great Gaonim, Reb Sajigon, wrote a classic philosophical work called Emunos Videos, also written in Arabic. And if you look how the word was written originally, and it's in Arabic, what did it say? Shenikra Baravit Kitav El Amanat Vel It Akadat. The Turgam Levrit B'Shem Ha'Emunos V'Hadeos. Says the professor, Emunos V'Deos was translated as Emunat V'It Akad. Therefore, says Reb Chaim Heller, there's a mistranslation in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, and therefore, as I explained, maybe from an academic point of view, the way to reconcile the Rambam's opinion is that Rambam's position through and through is Yediya, Das. The Rambam, the scientist, the Rambam, the physician, the Rambam, the philosopher, the Rambam, the halachist, understands that our requirement, and that means the mitzvah, that means each of us, in terms of the mitzvah, have a requirement to understand scientifically, academically, to be able to prove that there is a God. That's how he understands the position of the Rambam. Obviously, not everybody takes this approach, and not everybody understands the Rambam this way, but this is the first way to reconcile the Rambam. This is the approach of Reb Chaim Heller. Second approach, source Yud Aleph, Sefer Perach Mata Aaron, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, is a tzal of Chicago. In his, he has two volumes in his commentary on the Rambam, and he takes what I call a more pragmatic or practical approach. And this is a way that many Rosh Yeshiva or many Rabbanim will deal with steers in the Rambam, that the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos and that the Rambam in the Ziyad HaChazaka has two different goals. He has two different ideas of who he's talking to. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, when he's talking about mitzvos generally, is giving a very basic understanding of the mitzvah. For simple people who really are not looking for more than what the basic level is. And the Sefer HaMitzvos says, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik is talking to the Jew on the most basic level. That on a practical level, who I am, I have to have emunah. That's base level emunah for the majority, for the masses. But the Sefer Yad HaChazaka, where the Rambam gets into the teeth of a mitzvah, and the Rambam really starts to flesh out, and maybe what's written, even though the Rambam writes in his introduction, is written for everybody, but it's a more of a scholarly approach to understanding the mitzvah, says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, that's for that group of people. There are groups and there are groups similar in a way to the Ibn Ezra, that there are different types of people. Take a look inside in source number 11, Yud Aleph, Baron Soloveitchik of Alba Emes, Nira, Shein Shum Stira, there's no contradiction. Bein Lashon HaRambam Behilchos Yisodi HaTorah LeBein Lashon HaRambam BeSefer HaMitzvos, there's no contradiction. B'derech Klal HaMitzvah Shel Anochi Bikar Hi Ladas B'derech HaMuna, the basis, the foundation of belief is belief. Sheyesh Sham Borei Olam. When it comes to scholars, balei moach, people with great intelligence, ubalei mada, scientists, uvitvuna, Sheishlam hakishron vayecholis liros b'derech hamofis, who are able and who are trained to be able to prove and to understand and to research this, that there's a God, harehim chayavim ladas, sheyesham borei olam, gam b'derech hamofis. Those people are required, like the Chovas HaLevava says, to sort of get to a higher level of knowledge and to have a deeper sense and understanding. As opposed to simple people, the people who weren't trained in the sciences, not only they're not required to do so, if you're not trained, you don't know science, you don't understand the sciences, that's not your responsibility, and that's not what you have to do. And therefore, says Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, that there are two different groups that the Rambam is talking to, and you could argue that these are the two different books that the Rambam has. And the Sefer HaMitzvos, the position of the Rambam, is to talk to the Hamonam, to talk to the masses. And there he's talking specifically to the majority, to the lion's share of people, and those people need to believe generally. That's their responsibility. But to the scholars, to the scientists, to the Bali Tuna, to the Bali Maskilin, that the Rambam is talking to, and the Sefer Yad HaChazaka is talking to those people who are required to do so. That's the pragmatic, practical approach to deal with this issue. The third approach, which I'll call the Lamdisha approach, to answer this question, and the Stira and the Rambam can be found in Rav Shach, the late Panavarcha Rosh Yeshiva's Sefer Avi Ezri. And Rav Shach notes that he was bothered for years by this Stira and the Rambam. For years. He didn't understand how to reconcile the Rambam on the one hand, Lahamin, in the Sefer HaMitzvos, on the other hand, Leida, in the Mishnah Torah. And Rav Shach writes that he went to ask his Rebbe, the Brisker Rav, Rabbi Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Soloveitchik, this question. When he asked him this question, Rabbi Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Soloveitchik, the Brisker Rav, said, I asked my father this question, Reb Chaim, because I too was bothered by this question. So therefore, this morning you're going to hear Reb Chaim Brisker's approach to answer the Stira and the Rambam. Reb Chaim Brisker didn't go with the approach of Reb Chaim Heller. He didn't go with the approach we just quoted, Reb Aaron Soloveitchik, but he was bothered. And he didn't understand that there was an academic way to answer this question. He didn't understand there was a practical way to answer this question. But Reb Chaim is a lumdish way to answer this question. And Reb Chaim says like this. Man, human beings, have an ability to understand, but only to a certain limit. Says Reb Chaim that the responsibility of human beings, of leida, of knowledge, whether it's scientific, whether it's philosophical, whether it's mathematical, whatever it might be, there comes a point when we raise our hands and we say, I don't know, I don't understand. But says Reb Chaim, when the Rambam writes that the mitzvah is leida, that means that I have to push myself in my mind to get to a place where I understand. But when I reach a point where my yediyah is falling short, because there's going to come a point in time when I don't understand, and we all know scientists, doctors, physicians all say, I don't understand. There comes a point where I don't know, that's when emunah kicks in. At the point when I can't understand anymore, logically, philosophically, scientifically, at that point where I'm unable anymore to see God, to touch God, that's when emunah kicks in. That's what Reb Shach quotes from the Brisker Rav, quoting Reb Chaim. Take a look inside. Toward the bottom, third, in source Yud Beis, about eight lines up from the bottom, he writes, Rav Shach, that I asked this question, Lamaran Hagadol, Rav Yitzchak Zev HaLevi Soloveitchik, V'amar li, Shegam hu amad al zev, V'shal avi v'agrach. He asked this question to Rav Chaim Brisker, V'amar lo. And here's his answer, Shevadai ad kama sheseichel adam agaz. As much as my mind can capture, humuskal, that's yediyah, that's knowledge. Ve'en zu emunah hu yediyah, that's absolute knowledge. Aval chiyuv ha'emuna, the belief that man has, begins, says Reb Chaim Brisker, at the moment and at the time, mimakum shekala seichel ha'adam. When a person is no longer able to understand, that's called emuna. Therefore, says Reb Chaim, that's the way to reconcile the Rambam. Now, I will point out that there is a bit of a problem with Reb Chaim's answer, and it sounds almost like they're two different mitzvahs. That on the one hand, there's a mitzvah called yediyah, and once I reach that, then there's a mitzvah called emunah. In the Rambam himself, it sounds like it's one mitzvah. It's either emunah or yediyah. Reb Chaim, you have to understand, seems to be saying that there are two aspects to the mitzvah. There's yediya, what I know, and when I am able to understand, decipher, and to appreciate. And then once that stops, that's when emunah begins. But let us appreciate and understand Reb Chaim's approach to answer this question, not like Reb Chaim Heller, not like Reb Aaron Soloveitchik. So thus far, we have the academic approach of Reb Chaim Heller, the pragmatic, practical approach of Reb Aaron Soloveitchik, the lamdish approach of Reb Chaim, and the fourth approach, the Hasidish approach, as I mentioned earlier, in the Sefer Nesivos Shalom, the Slonim Rebbe, in the first volume, in his first essay, he also addresses the Stira in the Rambam, and he says just the opposite of Reb Chaim. Pumfaker, the exact opposite. The Slonim Rebbe says the mitzvah is emuna, to believe. And this is very Hasidish, and you'll hear it. He says the mitzvah is to believe. And when you believe so strongly, that's as if you have absolute knowledge. That's yediyah. And he says that's what the Rambam means. The Rambam fundamentally, categorically understands that our responsibility, our requirement is to be believers. Like the Kuzari, like the Rambam in Igeres Teman. We believe. We believe in Yetzias Mitzrayim, we believe in Matan Torah. But I believe so strongly that it's as if. You ever speak to people who are, may have not had such a strong Jewish education, not so knowledgeable. Really people from the last generation, my grandparents, for example. You talk to them about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's like talking about Tati and Mami. It's in their blood. That's what the Slonim Rebbe is saying. That when I believe so strongly, and when I know something to be so true, I don't have to prove it anymore. I'm willing to jump in the water. I'm willing to be murdered for that. That's what we're required to do. But my emunah is not coming from scientific, factual, absolute knowledge. It's coming because I believe so strongly. I know it to be true. Just the opposite of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim says, my requirement, the responsibility is to know. Five-finger clarity. When I'm unable to get there, then I'll be a believer. And that's very important. And I have to believe because I'm not going to be able to understand everything. Nesivos Shalom says, no, that's not the requirement. The requirement is just to be a believer. Simple, basic, emunah pshuta, like the Kuzri, like the Rambam in Igeres Teman. But more than that, when I am able to have that base belief, that is called yediya. Nas says the Slonim Rebbe, the Nesivos Shalom, there's no contradiction, there's no stira in the Divrei Rambam. Those are four different approaches to answer the Rambam. So to get back to our original question, when we talk about the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, is that a mitzvah of yediya or is that a mitzvah of emuna? It really depends. Are emuna and yediya synonyms or they antonyms? According to Reb Chaim Heller understands that there's simply a mistranslation in the Sefer Mitzvos, and it's yediyah full way through. It's absolute knowledge. According to Reb Aaron Soloveitchik in the Sefer Perach Mata Aaron, it's two different things completely. Amuni and yediyah are antonyms. There's something called scientific, factual, an algorithm that's absolutely true, and there's something called belief. And it depends who we're talking to. I have to believe something, you have to believe something, and not everybody in this room believes the same thing. We have different ways of approaching our belief in God. Reb Chaim says that we're all required to plummet the depths of knowledge and understanding and get to the bottom, like the Chovas HaLevavos says, it's a chiyuv, it's a responsibility, it's a requirement. When I'm unable to, when I hit a point where I'm unable to understand anymore, that's when emunah kicks in. And the Sivah Shalom says just the opposite. What I like to do in the last part of the shir is to try to figure out where this leaves us. As I've shown, there's a great division in the Rishonim and the Achronim, how to understand the mitzvah of emunah. Is it a mitzvah of yediyah or is it a mitzvah of emunah? Where do we go from here? As I mentioned, the Rambam took this from a philosophical academic discussion to a practical discussion of halacha. The Rambam codifies this as a mitzvah. What are we required to do? Later Achronim were bothered and discussed and understood that if it's a mitzvah, you have to know how to perform a mitzvah. You have to know how to take dalaminim, you have to know how to put on tefillin, you have to know how to sit in the sukkah, when to sit in the sukkah, when to light the menorah. So what am I supposed to do? I want to walk out of this room understanding. What are my responsibilities? One of the great 18th century poskim, the Chavos Yoyer, Rabbi Yair Bachrach, lived in Worms and Metz, died in 1702, wrote two classic works of halacha. He wrote Sefer Tshuvas called the Chavos Yoyer, and he wrote something called the Mekor Chaim, which is a running commentary on Shulchan Aruch. And he has a tshuva where he was asked this question, and he responds at great length. I've taken a snippet of his tshuva, very worthwhile tshuva to see inside. And the Chavos Yoyer answers this question to an individual who asked him, what do I do? Where do I go from here? Do I have to study the sciences? Do I have to be able, like the Chovas HaLevavos says, to be able to figure out and understand the cosmos, the stars, the moon, and the sky? Or is it enough just to believe? Take a look in Source Yud Gimel, the Chavos Yair. And the Chavos Yair, like we've shown, like most we've shown him, understands that the opinion of the Rambam is Yediyah, knowledge. Uledas HaRambam lo nikreis emuna rak hamitzuyeres balev. Yud Gimel, bottom of page 3. Emuna is something that I could touch, that I could feel, that I could know. And although I haven't shown you the Mor Nevuchim in this lecture, the Chavos Yair collects that this is also the opinion of the Rambam in the Sefer Mor Nevuchim. And he quotes in Chelek Aleph, Perek Nun, Ha'anam Chalila Lomar Kach. It can't be that we're going to tell all Jewry that they have to start studying the sciences. And they have to understand to be able with an Os Nechtach, like the Sefer Achinuk says, to be able to prove God. Shemkein Avudu Legamrei Anshei Emuna. We're leaving behind what happened to Anshei Emuna, what happened to being people of belief. Is that what we're supposed to do? Shigam Rambam lo sfir lekein. The Rambam himself, I don't even believe, says as such. Shein ze emuna. Rak shein emuna shlema b'chura u'brura. It's not the highest level of emuna. The Rambam himself admits that not everybody's going to be able to plummet the depths of the sciences and understand with an os nechtach, five-finger clarity, that there's God. And he quotes the opinion of the Rambam in other places in Sefer HaChinuch. And then three lines from the bottom, the Chavos Yair says, Kugon anu, tov lanu ha'emuna below shum chakiros. Better for us as Jews not to engage in researching, in studying, in contemplating, in figuring out chakira, research that there is a God. V'navin perish hamilo shel shir yigdal. The best thing to do is understand yigdal, what we say every morning. Kimashman, like it means. V'narchik me'od min achipos, and you should stay very far away from researching, from examining. Al tzara chakira. V'afin yavo belibo shum stira. If you start to become philosophically challenged by doing this, yidche b'kol kochus svar sasechel. You should push aside that part of the brain that's pushing you to understand God scientifically. Mipnei ha-kabbalah me'avosenu u'mirivienu u'mitarasenu mekubeles. Rather, like the Kuzari, like the Rambam in Igeres Tema, best thing to do, says the Chavos Yair, is not to be a researcher, not to be a person who's figuring out the scientific truth and facts, but rather, tov lanu ha'emuna, the best thing is for each of us to be able to be believers and understand the historical context of where we come from. This position is not only the opinion of the Chavos Yair, but if you take a look in Source 14, on page number 4, the Sefer Keserosh, which is a wonderful Sefer, written by Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, the primary disciple of the Vilna Gaon, has many comments of the Vilna Gaon, important comments of the Vilna Gaon, and there's a gloss called the Ohale Chaim, which was written by a student of Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner. And here in this short book called the Keser Rosh, the Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner's student tells us, what did the Gra study? What was the opinion of the Gra? Where was the Gra in this debate? And he tells us, Rabbeinu HaGra Azal, the Gra, Hay Mechavev Sefer Menorah Samor V'Sefer Chovas HaLevavos. You know what the Gra liked to learn? The Gra liked to learn the Sefer Menorah Samor and the Chovas HaLevavos. Now, if you learned the Sefer Chovas HaLevavos, that means that the Gra understood that you have to be able to scientifically get to the bottom of things. However, look at the end. U'bemokom Shar HaYichud. The Gra would skip Shar HaYichud. Shar HaYichud is what I quoted you from earlier, where the Chovas HaLevavos says you have to prove God scientifically. He would skip Shar HaYichud, and instead would learn Sefer HaKuzri. We'll learn Rabbi Huda Halevi's Sefer, which we began with at the outset, which was a book about history and understanding Yetzias Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, Kriyas Yamsuf. Shul Kadosh V'Tohor V'Ikar Amunas Yisrael V'Tluim Bo, says the Gra, that the Sefer HaKuzri is the pedestal, is the foundation, is the crux of all Amunas Yisrael. So like the Chavos Yair, the Gra seems to take the position, and of course the other commentary of Gra in other places, but here in terms of what the Gra did actually, factually, what he studied was Sefer HaChovas HaLevavos, skipping Shar HaYichud, instead learning the Kuzri. I'd like to close with two different important essays, and I really encourage you, we don't have the time, to take a look at both of these inside, because they really speak, to, I hope, to our heart and certainly to our mind as well. Source number Tezvav 15 is the Sefer Kobetz Maran, Rabbi Yochanan Wasserman, Hashem Yukam Damam, the Baranovich Rosh Hashiva, who was murdered in the 9th Fort in Kovna. He was living in America, fundraising. He went back to be with his students where he was murdered. Rabbi Chana Wasserman was one of the towering Rosh Yeshiva. He was actually a Rosh Yeshiva of a high school, of a mechina. Later, students would go to Brisk and to Mir and to other yeshivas. He was teaching high school, but he was an outstanding scholar, author of the Kobetz Mamarim, as well as other sefarim called the Kobetz Shiurim. And here he quotes the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, and he asks a very basic question. And he asks, how can we be commanded to believe something? I understand, asks Rabbi Chana, that you could tell me to put on tefillin. You could tell me to light the menorah. You could tell me to sit in the sukkah. The Torah could tell me not to murder, not to steal. But how can the Torah command my mind? How can the Torah tell me to believe? O shekein, o shelo. Either I believe or I don't believe. If I believe, I don't need the mitzvah. If I don't believe, a mitzvah is not going to help. So manavshach, says Rabbi Chana, what's the Torah telling me? And as we pointed out, the Rambam says it's a mitzvah. I mentioned the opinion of the Baha'i that the does not count the mitzvah of Amuna as an absolute one of the Taryag. But Rabbi Chana says, how can I be commanded in a mitzvah to believe? You can't tell me to believe. I do or I don't. What is this mitzvah all about? Rabbi Chana has a famous essay, the first essay in Kobetz Ma'amarim, where he addresses this question. And if you just skip down to the last paragraph because of time constraints, you'll see what Rabbi Chanan says, and this is how he formulates the mitzvah of Amunah. And says Rabbi Chanan, the mitzvah of Amunah is simply to remove all barriers that are blocking my belief. He says, Amunah is something that's pashat. Every human being believes. If you speak to an agnostic believes something. He knows that there are certain things that are true. He might like the Mets or the Yankees. Something is true. An agnosticist and an atheist believe something. They deny God. But why do they deny God? It says Rabbi Chanan psychologically that what happens is that a person sort of has a problem and something gets in the way of their emunah. But emunah is something tivi, he says. Emunah is something natural. Every person naturally pines to believe and to know and to understand God. We all believe God. We can appreciate Hashem. We all know that there's a creator. We all look around the world and there's an absolute amazing. And if you look at the human body, says Rabbi Chanan, it's an impossibility to be able not to believe that. He says if somebody would show you a car, he doesn't say a car, this is my mashal. If you would look at a car in the parking lot now and somebody would tell you, where did that come from? So nobody's going to tell you that it just appeared. It's an impossibility. A car is a very complicated mechanism. A lot went into it between the engine and the gamut of different things that compose and comprise a car. Nobody's going to tell you that it just came from nowhere. It says nobody's going to tell you that the world just came out of poof, out of nowhere. Nobody believes that. That's not true. But if a person states that, it's because something is blocking them. And the mitzvah of emunah for every single individual is to start to peel away, mol or les levavchem, to remove the basis and the blockage that takes place in front of every human being because something is holding us back from believing. We all believe. It's inherent. It's inert. It's inertia. We all have that. The mitzvah of emunah, says Rabbi Chanan, is to remove that block. Take a look in the last paragraph. Hayotzi mizeh. Ki yesodei ha'emunah mitzaratzma hem pshutim uchrachem. Emunah is not so complicated. It's not the emunah of the Chovas HaLevavos. It's not the emunah of the first level of the Ibn Ezra. It's not the Os Nechtach. You don't need that. It's simple. Muchrach l'chol adam sheinu michlal shoteh. Anybody who's not a fool believes. A person is not being challenged. A person is not being fooled. The reason that people deny, and the reason for apikorsis, it's not because philosophical truth has allowed a person to disprove God. Of a person has some level of desire. Hamata u'ma'aver esichel, that's blinding him. V'hamitzvah lahamin, says Rabbi Chanan, what's the mitzvah to believe? Shelo yagbir ta'avosav al-sichlo, that my taivos, that my desires don't overcome my mind. U'memela tavo ha'amuna behakara. Amunah will come naturally. Amunah will come automatically. Amunah is imprinted on my heart. Like the Nesivos Shalom says, it's something that's so understood and so self-understood that it's something that just has to be recognized, remove away everything that's stopping me from getting there. finally, and again, I encourage you to read the full essay inside, in a classic paper of Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichron Levracha, published in the Jewish Action in 1992, wrote a beautiful essay on Emunah. And it's much larger. I only share with you two paragraphs here. But he also discusses what exactly Emunah is. And I'll share with you two things that he says. The first, like Rabbi Elchanan, and the second is something that I'll finish with. Rabbi Lichtenstein writes, "Regardless of issues, moral, theological, textual, or historical vexed me. I was confident that they had been raised by masters far sharper and wiser than myself. And if they had remained impregnably steadfast in their commitment, so should and could I. I intuited that his categorical formulations, and empirical certitude notwithstanding, Rav Huttner had surely confronted whatever questions occurred to me." Why, says Rabbi Lichtenstein, am I smarter, wiser, greater than Rav Huttner? I felt virtually certain that the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, similarly, so that the depth and intensity of their service of God was doubly reassuring. If I saw Rabbi Soloveitchik davening Shemoneh Esrei, and I saw Rabbi Aaron, Rav Huttner, in devotion in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they also were bothered. They also have philosophical issues. But am I have greater issues than them? The source of my support was not confined to my immediate rabbis. At one point during my late teens, I was troubled by certain ethical questions concerning the destruction of Amalek. I then recalled having recently read that Reb Chaim Brisker would awaken nightly to see if someone had placed a foundling at his doorstep. I knew that I slept quite soundly, and I concluded that if such a paradigm of kindness coped with these laws, evidently the source of my anxiety did not lie in my greater sensitivity, but in my weaker faith. And I set myself to enhancing it. Beautiful language, Rabbi Lichtenstein, exactly what Rabbi Elchanan is saying. That the job of man is to remove the barrier that's blocking what is existent in my heart and on my mind. That's the mitzvah of Emunah, is to recognize who God is and what God is about. Finally, in the last paragraph, and if I understand what Rabbi Lichtenstein is writing, I think there's something fantastic that he mentions here that I'd like to flesh out and conclude with. He writes that faith has been persistently enforced by Jewish history, as we mentioned from the Kuzari, and as we mentioned from the Rambam in Igeres Tema. And this is in two respects. First, I have envisioned providence as revealed and refracted through its uniqueness. In the spirit of the response of our sages, for it is not for the awe of God, how could one nation survive among the nations? The fact that we are here, the fact that there's a Klal Yisrael, the fact that there's an Eretz Yisrael, the fact that we are built and rebuilt ourselves after 6 million of our brothers and sisters, our ancestors, have been murdered, killed, beaten, and abused, that we're still here, does that not strengthen? Continues, secondly, has served as a corpus with which to some extent, even though which to identify, and on whose behalf to continue. That sense has received added impetus through the Holocaust. Some may regard this as paradoxical, but it's thoroughly genuine, and from my perspective, not paradoxical at all. The theological, philosophic difficulties posed by the frightful hiddenness of God are self-evident. They are, however, so insoluble and tractable that a person of faith is led to look beyond their sheer magnitude to evoke and formulate a practical response. For me, that has meant a redoubled commitment, a sense of mission, to take the flickering torch from my predecessors and move with it to our common goal. The greatest source of faith, however, has been the God himself. What I think emerges from this latter statement of Rabbi Lichtenstein is that every person's emunah is different. And I and my belief in God might be the Holocaust. And maybe that's paradoxical, but that speaks to me. And that means that every person has their own world, their own truth, their own experiences, their own occurrences, whether it's familial, personal, historical. How did I land up here? How did I wind up with the job that I have? God has guided me personally in my life. God has created a life for me. There are some troubles, there are difficulties, there are challenges. There are great months, there are difficult months. There are good days, there are bad days. But if I look back and I watch my life, I'm simply a puppet. And God is the puppeteer who is watching, who is guiding me, who is confronting me with challenges and with great times as well. And that's Emunah. And every person has to look in their own life and to understand and to appreciate who they are, where they come from, what allowed them to succeed, to create, to build, what allows a person to accomplish the challenges that I have, the difficulties that I've had, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows, the good days, the bad days. That also speaks to a God who's talking to me personally. So I think in conclusion, in terms of answering the questions that we began with, is belief faith or is belief knowledge? So clearly we've seen a division in the Rishonim and Achronim on that question. But one thing that I hope everybody will walk away with is understanding that Judaism has a theology. There's no such thing as being blind in Emunah. That we can't have. There has to be something and a reason and a basis for our belief. We all have to believe. How, why, who, what, when, where, why, how? For some it's philosophy, for some it's mathematics, for some it's the sciences, for some it's logic. For others it's history, it's the world of the Kuzri, the Rambam, and the Geras Tema. For others it's the world of the Ibn Ezra and the Chovas HaLevavos. The Machlokas, Ibn Ezra, and the Kuzri speaks to us in this room right now. But everybody has something that's inherent in them to believe, can believe, and does believe. But no Jew should ever feel or understand, I don't know, who said? It can't be. There's got to be something that's pushing us. And maybe Rabbi Hanan's approach, maybe Rabbi Lichtenstein's approach speaks to us. There is a mitzvah. The Rambam formulates, codifies a mitzvah lahamin, or a mitzvah leida. One of the two. But there's something that we have to choose, and there's something that we have to know. It could be it's simple, we never thought about it, because it's so natural, like our babis and zaydis, and that is the high level of munah, and that's the lechatchila shebelechatchila of the kuzri. According to the Chovas HaLevavos, and according to the Ibn Ezra, others have a different way, and a different approach. But there has to be an approach. Judaism is not a religion where we don't think, and where we simply just believe because somebody told us. Well, somebody can tell us, and that Ebenezer says is the first level, right? Like the Ramban says, no father would ever lie to his child. So what occurred at Matan Torah, what occurred at Kriyas Yamsuf, what occurred at Yetzias Mitzrayim is fact, and nobody lied. There's no nation, like the Rambam says in the Zigeres Taimon, where a revelation occurred to a group of people, and a largesse group of people like any other religion ever. There's no such thing. No other religion claims that. No other religion ever claims such a thing. Nobody denies that. Everybody recognizes that. So some that speaks to it, the philosophers call that the blueprint proof. But others have a different way to approach. But there has to be an approach. And there has to be some level of understanding. And each person in their own life can choose whether it's through historical truth, whether it's through my personal life, whether it's through the sciences. There are different approaches. But the mitzvah lahamin is a mitzvah, according to the Rambam. And yes, like most, we should understand that it's a mitzvah. So there has to be something that speaks to us, and it should encourage us, inspire us, and to recognize that we are a people of believers. We're a people who come from Yetzias Mitzrayim. We're people whose ancestors stood at Matan Torah. And we're a people who also have understanding and scientific ability to be able to understand and to appreciate this as well. I hope and I pray HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reveal himself in the Hester Panim, the hiddenness of God, which is a hiddenness that our generation is living through and that thousands of years have been living through since the expulsion from Eretz Yisrael and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Bezos Hashem Yisbarach HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Megala himself to show his face to us so that these questions will come moot and that we will be able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Panim on Panim B'mher B'yameinu. If there are any questions, I'm happy to take them or people can get on their way as well.